How's your preamps on keys, Brent?
I have no clue. Got to hear all dance instruments one at a time.
Yeah, he's got it going.
Thanks for tuning in. This is Matt Santos of the Mile High Show, and we are getting ready to record episode number 30. And we are out here at the Prescott Valley Civic Center Amphitheater in Prescott Valley, Arizona. It's a fairly new spot. They finished the bandstand here several months ago, March, I believe. And the town here runs some pretty neat programs in the summertime. They play some outdoor movies for the families. Folks can come out with their kids and lay out a blanket on the lawn and watch a movie on the big screen, kind of like a drive-in, but without the cars. Tonight, yeah. I am going to sit down with Five in the Wheel, a local band out of Prescott that I got a chance to hear for the first time a couple of weeks ago at the Windsock in Prescott, and got a chance to talk with them for a few minutes and set up tonight's podcast. So they go on at 7:30, I believe. And so we're going to sit down backstage and talk with the folks at Five in the Wheel, hear some road stories from them, talk music, swap a few lies, and get ready as they get ready to take the stage at 7:30. Now, before they go on, a group that I'm really not familiar with but looks really interesting. It's actually a cross between excitement, anticipation, and a little horror. They are called Circus Bacchus, and they are musicians, acrobats. They've got a trapeze set up on the lawn in front of the stage, and a couple of really creepy-looking clowns, but I'm sure it's going to be a lot of fun. There are quite a few families. They're filling up the lawn right now, some older folks as well as some younger couples and a bunch of kids running around. So this should be a fun time for all. Running the soundboard tonight, and we might get a chance to talk with him. If not, just thanks out to Teddy Leonard and his crew from Prescott Pro Sound. They're running the sound booth here for the concert, and we're going to be tap into them once Five in the Wheel takes the stage so we can get some clean recordings of some of their music and run them on the intro and outro here. Teddy was a guest early on, one of the first episodes of the Mile High Show, and one of the most popular because Teddy is quite the character. If you haven't heard that episode, I encourage you to jump on milehighshow.com and search those back episodes and find Teddy Leonard, because that was a fun one. We recorded over at the Hotel St. Michael's over breakfast one morning and had a ball doing it hearing Teddy's story. So stick around. We're going to listen to Five in the Wheel talk about their music and how they got together and some of their upcoming shows and where you could hear them, as well as hearing them play live. So sit back and enjoy to episode number 30 of the Mile High Show. Tonight's episode is brought to you by LC Auto and Truck Repair in Chino Valley, the place to go for your auto and truck repairs. Hey, how's your car running? Well, if you're like me, every once in a while it needs some tender love and care. And I don't like working on vehicles. I don't understand them. I don't like doing it. It infuriates me, and I get to throwing tools around the garage. Yeah. So it's better for all involved if I don't work on my car. In order to make sure my car is running right, though, I take it over to Chance Glover at LC Auto and Truck Repair in Chino Valley. He's located directly across the street from the Walgreens and diagonal from the Safeway Shopping Center at 990 Highway 89 in Chino Valley, or on the phone 928-830-6660. You can also find them online, lcautorepair.com, or on Facebook, LC Auto and Truck Repair. Now, the reason I go by and see Chance is, like I said, I don't like working on vehicles. I don't like it. I hate it. I don't understand him. Chance will walk me through. He dumbs it down enough so I understand the repairs that need to be done. That way, when it's all said and done, there's no surprises. He's already explained it. He's explained how much. He encourages me to go out and get other estimates. And I'll tell you, without fail, the other shops I go to, they recommend I go see Chance. He's the guy they call when they can't figure stuff out. So go on by, see Chance Glover, LC Auto and Truck Repair, 990 Highway 89 in Chino Valley. He'll treat you right. Tell him the Mile High Show sent you.
Introduce yourselves. Let's go around the horn here, Dan.
Hey, Matt. I'm Dan Shaw.
I'm Nick Guzzo.
Neil Neidifer,
who was late.
Bill Reyes.
Becky Reinyak.
It'll be easy to remember Becky's name because she is the only female in the group. How long have you guys been playing together?
A little over a year and a half.
Really? So this is kind of a new venture for you guys then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then these are really cheapo mics. You got to kind of eat them. The good part about that is we don't pick up a whole lot of ambient, so we'll hear some of this in the background. So about a year and a half?
About a year and a half.
And how'd you guys all hook up? And just kind of jump in. There's really no structure to any of this. It's just conversation. Just go as you want.
The long...
Nick already told me he's going to take over pretty much.
Yeah, he probably will. He no doubt will. I actually joined a band that Becky was in about a year and a half ago. And the bass player quit. I knew Bill and grabbed Bill. He came in, joined us.
We had played in a band before then.
The drummer quit. Neil had seen us, and he was interested.
Hey,
don't
take my story. I mean, it's just for me. You tell your part, and
so
I'll
Neil
jump
in
on my part.
And then we tried a couple of different guitar players, and Nick was available. And I kept trying to reach Nick, and finally got hold of him, and Nick came out, and he could understand what we were doing and was enjoying it. You know, and that's the biggest thing with us is we just enjoy what we're doing. So yeah. It kind of worked out that
and
way.
And it really shows while you guys are playing. I'm kind of late in the game. I didn't see you guys or hear you play until a couple weeks ago when I saw you at the Windsock. But when I started doing this podcast in December, your guys' name came up, and people kept saying, you got to meet with these guys. You got to meet with these guys. And I hadn't had a chance to. And then when I walked in on the Windsock there that night after Rodney, is that
his
name?
Yeah, Rod.
Uh-huh. I saw him earlier in the day. He goes, you got to go see him. He had told me a couple of times before. And I walked in, and just the energy in that small little bar and watching you guys play in that corner, it just blew me away, man. It was great. Well,
thanks.
Now, all of you guys from around here, were you guys all Arizona natives or transplants?
I was born in Phoenix, Arizona, and then I grew up in Wickenburg, Arizona.
Wickenburg,
so we used to cruise up here for 4th of July, yeah. So kind of fun. And I started singing when I was about 5 in church. So I've got the bluegrass and the Southern gospel kind of a background. And then went to lots of voice lessons and competitions and good stuff and learned how to do my harmonies, appreciate harmonies a lot, and just nag and moan to these guys to get them in shape, and they do. So that's where I'm from.
Well, I'm L.A. based, so I've been from Los Angeles. I've been here about 13 years, and one night I was going to J.S. Acker's night, and there was this band playing over there called Poker Night Out. Well, I thought they were great. The only thing they needed was a bass player, and I wasn't a bass player. So I talked to them. I said, if you want me to be your bass player, give me a shot. So they gave me a shot, and me and Dan have been playing together like for quite a few years now. And then, like he was saying, we just moved on from there.
How'd you find your way behind the drums?
Yeah, actually, my situation is very similar to Becky's. I was a praise and worship drummer for over 30 years. Got all my chops doing Christian music.
Around here?
Phoenix. I'm also from Phoenix.
Yeah.
And after 37 years of that, that's enough. But I found these guys. Bill invited me to hear him play. And I heard that 3-4-part harmony. I said, I've got to be in this band. So that's where I started in this band about a year and a half ago.
And after Dan came into my shop 2 or 3 times wanting me to join a country band, these are my fingers making quotes. And he said, no, we'll do other stuff. We do rock and whatnot, because I had never really played country music very much at all. Because I grew up in Chicago, blues, rock,
blues
70s,
bass,
80s,
yeah.
Bam. I mean, that's all I ever did. And sure enough, once we got started, I started thinking, wow, listen to Becky's voice. Listen to those harmonies. Listen to this country. Let's do some more Stevie Nicks that she can do. Let's do something by Linda Ronstadt. Let's do this and that. And, man, it is the best thing I've been in, because I've been in a lot of bands. I've been in Prescott 32 years now and playing a lot of bands, which is a bunch of bar bands. You know how that goes.
Yeah.
A couple guitars, bass, drums, bam, you're done. This is a little different than that, and that's what makes it so interesting, except when I'm trying to learn songs, and then Becky will go, that third note you're hitting, and I'm like, come on. So then I'll have to figure a scale out and know what I'm doing, but I've developed a lot singing last year.
Are you guys
have.
All pretty much set, bass, drums, guitar, as far as instruments go? And you're just vocals?
Well, I am
play?
Tambourine and cowbell. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And you play a little bit of everything, huh?
Dan does.
Yeah, because I'm not really good at anything, so I have to play everything. So throughout the course of the evening, you know, we just need all these other instruments to kind of fill in the sound and do some different things that we would want to try to do. And our bass, I've always got 3 criteria when we look at songs. The first is female vocalist. The second is harmonies. And the third is it danceable? So that's kind of the criteria we look for when we choose songs for our set list. And so throughout the evening, I'm playing keyboards, which I've not played on stage ever. And then I've always played piano, just never played it on stage. Guitars, banjo, mandolin, played saxophone, so just a little bit of everything.
You mix in a little bit of everything. What are some of the influences of the band? Well, you just mentioned Stevie Nicks. Uh-huh. I noticed on there some of the blues and Blue Oyster Cult, Cheap Tricks.
Well, the thing about it on the keyboards
rock.
Where Dan jumps on there puts a whole other facet to everything that you just don't hear when you go out and hear a lot of bands. You hear people covering certain songs with a guitar doing that part or something else,
yeah.
And then now you can put in synthesizer keyboard and it brings it to that next level of where you hear, well, that almost sounds like just like it, you know what I mean? And that's what I think gives us that versatility. Some of the songs he mentions about danceability and things like that, there's a couple songs that you'll see sometimes or that we jokingly call a performance piece, because it might not be the kind of song that, you know, you're just going to get out there and do it, but it's fun to hear, fun to watch, you know, that kind of stuff. So we've really come to see there's no bounds with what we do.
What's one, if you could pull something out of, whether it's something you're going to do tonight or just something that's back in the catalog, that you guys have really put your own signature to? Is there anything that would maybe surprise some folks to hear?
Oh, we've got a lot of tunes like that. My background, I'm from Phoenix. I didn't go into that. But, yeah, I'm actually fourth generation Arizonan. Grew up in Phoenix. Actually, Becky and I, we found out as we all became friends, both attended Grand Canyon University. Neil and I went to high school together, which I did not know him back in high school, but we went to the same high school, have some of the same friends. One of his best friends was our original drummer back when I was a kid. So it's been fun. I mean, all the continuity and the things that we've actually bumped into each other throughout the years and then to become friends. Signature songs, we do kind of, we take a lot of our songs and try to put our spin on them, our feel to them.
You know, it's a good idea, like when we do something and we'll hear something in a song that sounds like another song and we'll mash together a couple songs.
Just mash up.
Pretty soon we've got three songs that are one song, like the funk medley. Funk 49, play that funky music. What's the
gotta have that
coaster? Yeah, roller coaster.
Roller coaster, and then you do this Jimi Hendrix thing.
Totally,
and I do
a Hendrix lead from Third Stone from the Sun right in the middle of it. Or like we'll do, what were we doing? What's the funk tune? The one we mashed together.
Brick House.
Comes to that part and shake it down.
See, you're mixing together all kinds of different genres, not
just ZZ Top right in with Brick House. That would be kind of more than putting, because sometimes to a fault, even when we're listening to things singing or I'm picking out a lead, sometimes a little too much right on it kind of doesn't, I kind of get off on doing that little bit of faking it, like, hey, that's almost just like it. So some of our songs you'll hear will sound just like it, and the ones that you don't, that we get loose on are the ones we'll mash together, and we'll do a lead here and a lead there and add a lead, you know, or whatever it may be. But
it's called jazz.
It's
we jazz. Purposely do
close
that.
Enough for funky jazz.
Now, were you guys primarily playing in Prescott area? Can folks outside the area see you guys? Do you try and travel out much? Or,
you know, this is what we do for fun. We're not really, you know, in it for, you know, we make hundreds of dollars each year and
spend thousands on equipment.
Yeah, this is not what we're doing for a living, thank God.
What's that old line about the definition of a musician? Pack $2,000 worth of equipment into a
$500 car. Yeah.
Travel 600 miles.
Unfortunately, we're all kind of business. We have businesses and regular lives and stuff that we do. And so this is what we do for fun. We're all kind of at that empty nester syndrome where the kids have grown up and moved out and we've got extra time. And, you know, so instead of sitting in front of the TV Friday and Saturday nights, we go out and do this and have fun. And we enjoy meeting new people, meeting the people that are coming out and enjoying the music, dancing to it. So it's just
they become friends. I mean, after a while, people have come see
it. It really has.
I noticed that at the Windsock. Like I said, I only seen you guys play the one time, but it seemed like they didn't come out like, it wasn't like most nights where it's like, let's go get a drink and hear some music. It was like, let's go get a drink and hear Five in the Wheel. They were out there to see you guys. You get that pretty solid following.
Friends. We've got a real solid following, and they're different at different places we go because they all have their favorite places to hear us. But they've like become a big family. Yeah.
And then we'll go to somebody's house after a gig, and there's a couple people from the band from the bar, and we're like, "Who? How did they get here?" Shout out to Mudbone. We're with the band. And that'll happen sometimes because
we have a pretty good following of ballroom dancers, which we appreciate, and it's just a trip to watch them dance to Blue Oyster Cult.
Yeah.
We like to see them doing the Reaper songs, and they're doing whatever, the tango or something.
And they can dance to anything, those people. It's like they've even told us, I don't care what song it is, it just doesn't do that. You know, whatever beat, it's pretty funny.
Where'd the name come from, Five in the Wheel?
Yeah, actually, it's... we were trying to figure out, because we knew we were going to be country. And when Becky and Bill and Neil and I, just even before Nick came along, we were trying to figure out what the name of the band should be. So somebody came up with Five in the Wheel, and we said, well, it's not kind of country. It's actually, the Five in the Wheel means five bullets in the chamber of the revolver.
And that's your logo on the flyers and stuff.
Yeah.
Revolver.
Yeah, we try to play down the gun thing, but, it's... but that is our logo because we do new country. But to differentiate ourselves, we don't do the classic country like a lot of bands do. There's a lot of bands that are really good that do the old country. We do new. We're doing the Brad Paisley, the Little Big Town.
Dierks Bentley.
Dierks Bentley, Eric Church, the kind
Luke
of stuff
Bryan.
That's edgy, Luke Bryan, and Harmony. Lots of Harmony. So we look for that kind of stuff to do.
So how many beers do you got to get in, Bill, before he starts chatting away?
He usually shows
I don't
up
drink.
With a 12-pack.
Speaking of the devil.
It's the devil's here.
This guy.
Now, mainly covers. Do you work in any originals into your sets?
We're working on that all the time, thinking about things here and there.
We've all written. Bill and I did a couple of years of recording in a little studio downtown. Bill's written some great tunes. Nick's got some great
tunes.
It's
only audio. This doesn't show up good on the microphone.
Okay, we just
3 years.
We haven't gone there yet as far as... I think we've all chased that dream at one point or another in our life of, where are we going to... we want to make it. But at this time in our life, we're all kind of just having fun with this.
We just want to make it home.
Playing the favorites Safely. To you, and it translates to the favorites of the folks sitting in the audience as well.
Well, that's another, just a little dilemma when you think about going out and seeing bands and whatnot. It is good to hear things, maybe that somebody does that expression of what we are. But most of the time, a silly song like Sweet Home Alabama, I played it 10,000 times, as everyone around here has.
Yeah.
You think, oh, that old thing. Well, they hear that first ding, 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 and the dance floor's packed.
Yeah.
It's like certain things are familiarity people always want to hear when you're at bars and drinking, and it's memories and whatever it may be, and danceability and things like that. But there ought to be room for a couple originals in there, and we've talked about it at length, so it'll be there.
What are some of the bigger shows you played? You were at last year's
opened for the Wind for the Wallflowers last year. We actually had Candy Zappa join us on stage. Frank Zappa's younger sister. Yeah. That was
to the courthouse.
That was a lot of fun. She was great.
But that Pioneer Park with like 7,000 people.
Was that one of the bigger?
I'd have to.
Yeah,
you guys have
would,
all been
but one time there was 6,500 at the Windsock that night, but the 7,000
right out into the parking lot.
Just push that over a little bit.
Sitting at the Big Five down.
It was hard getting him out of the bathroom there.
If you haven't been to the Windsock, it holds what, about 80?
We cram them in there though.
No, you guys have all been playing for a long time separately, and then some of you in different incarnations together. Was that the biggest crowd you guys have played ever in front of? 7,000? Or have
I think here in Prescott, for me, it has.
Yeah,
I've played for bigger. But when I was a kid, I didn't play for about 30 years.
Yeah.
I was raising kids. So back when I was a kid, I had a number of groups that were fairly successful. And we opened for the Tubes and a bunch of different bands. So, but I haven't, done that in years. So
you ever
this
get up
new.
To the Bay Area playing with the Tubes?
No. I'm a Phoenix guy.
I got a chance to see in one of their Resurrections when Fee came back with them at Uncle Charlie's up in San Rafael, Marin County, somewhere up there. I'm from the San Francisco Bay Area.
Okay.
And I used to see a lot, you'd walk into these little clubs sometimes and see folks that were just traveling through, popping in, and it was a lot of fun to see.
We opened for Iron Butterfly, and it was funny because my band was such a clean-cut group of young guys that played, and here we were opening for these guys that were just crazy far out there. Tubes would come out and throw little baggies of dope out in the audience. It was just nuts. But yeah, and then I quit that, got married, had kids, did the corporate thing for a number of years, so this is kind of a second life.
So what is civilian life for you guys? You had mentioned, Nick, that Dan came into your shop. What's the shop?
Anthony's Furniture Restoration Studio, downtown in Prescott. Been there 32 years.
Yeah.
Do museum quality restoration on antiques and
got
anything
website?
You got.
Let's plug away.
No, I don't.
No.
Well, anthonysfurniture.com. All over the Southwest. My family's been doing it for 42 years.
That's
and
your
four
trade,
generations.
Though, huh?
Yeah, kind of
nice.
Weaned and grown up doing that.
What do you do Monday through Friday, Dan?
I own a number of businesses. I have a real estate company and
a
property management
shady.
Company. Yeah, it's shady.
Import, export of merchandise.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I used to know a guy who was an unlicensed pharmacist, kind of the same description.
Yeah. It's called dispensary now, yeah.
So just a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Yeah, I'm a licensed mortgage broker, but yeah, I've got like kind of a lot of different things.
Is it picking up, real estate picking up at all, or are we still in the...
You're asking me now. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I've been a realtor here with West USA for about 16 years. I started with a degree in sociology, so I was a probation officer for the criminally violent offender in Phoenix for 10 years.
Now we know how you met these guys.
Yeah,
for real.
Yeah, and I'm not so sure I want to advertise where I live now, because they're just now, some of them getting out, but... Yeah, I'm a realtor, so I kind of know Dan on that level, too. And yes, it's picking up.
Yeah, it is good.
Yeah.
Oh, I...
Join the group.
Yeah, sure. No, I'm retired now, 66 years old, but I spend most of my time on Facebook. We do have a website. If anybody's interested, it's called Five in the Wheel. You're welcome to join us. And we keep our schedule there, you know, so that...
No, I did see that. You're pretty active on Facebook under Five with the numeral Five in the Wheel.
Five in the Wheel.
On Facebook. And then you've got a website...
No, that's the one.
Okay,
well, we have a website also.
Also,
but it took you to azdan.com.
That's Dan's.
Okay, the Wix one. It's too long. And then I wrote it down, and I can't read my own writing, but Five in the Wheel has a link right to it. So
and that link, Dan's link, is on Five in the Wheel on that Facebook.
Yeah.
So you go there and see
it. Found it.
Yeah, the best thing is to check. Bill keeps the Facebook page up to date and everything of where we're going to be.
And Neil, what do you do during the day? Or just sleep? Every other drummer I've ever known.
Oh, my God.
Never sleep.
You have a reputation.
Well, I would be retired like Bill, except I missed the lottery by four numbers. Anyway, I'm an electronics technician over at Cobham Avionics, right next to the runway.
What do you do there?
Electronics technician. We build radios and navigation equipment that goes in airplanes.
You just broke like the entire stereotype for drummers now, because that sounds like a brainy job.
Well, don't let looks fool you.
Okay.
He does drink a 12-pack before every gig.
Well,
like
I'm a lot smarter than I look.
You drink a 12-pack after the gig, not before the gig.
Does he outfit the Batcave there with his Batman hat with all those electronics?
Yeah.
Now, playing in, I saw through the, you got Brick and Bones, you're there pretty regular, the Windsock. What are some of the local haunts that folks can see at?
The hotel up on the hill, the Eagle's Nest at the Prescott
Eagle's
Resort.
Right.
Just about every Saturday.
Just about every Saturday throughout the year we're there. We used to do Cliff Castle. We're there once in a while. We do a lot of the city stuff. We're booked at the Birdcage coming up in October.
Halloween.
Halloween.
Most of those are pretty small, intimate bars that Whiskey Row is famous for. There's live music pretty much every night throughout there. Now, today, we're sitting here at the amphitheater at Prescott Valley Civic Center, outdoor venue, amphitheater lawn area. How is there much difference in the way you design your set, your list for the night when you're playing something like this as opposed to the bar?
I think so.
How do you kind mix it up?
We tried to mix it up with much more diversity because of the crowd. You'll see people from 8 to 80 years old.
Yeah, yeah. And families out there on the lawn and stuff.
Right. Well, we won't do much of our devil music for these people, which we don't do any. I'm kidding. But
you might have to keep up with a couple of these creepy clowns.
They did creep you, that guy earlier.
I don't even know that they're with this group. I think they're just kind of hanging out.
They are creepy.
Saucy sauce.
I saw one guy passing out candy earlier. I'm a little scared.
I think you're from Paulden.
I thought he was the drunk one. Oh, sorry.
None taken.
No, but yeah, we're always thinking that way. You know, like we'll look around the bar and use the old term of cowboy hats. How many cowboy hats you see out there? And we'll go, we got to do this, we got to do that. You know,
and we'll shift throughout the evening. If we see a contingency of hats out there, we'll go to the country.
Keep it fluid.
If they're liking the rock, then we'll stick with the rock. So we'll go with whatever the crowd needs.
Now, how does that energy change? Because I've seen, and through my main job, and it has been for decades, is photography. And I've done photojournal and magazine work and that. And that's where I saw a lot of groups in the Bay Area shooting for different venues, everything from small bars, like we got here in Prescott, to Day on the Greens at the Coliseum and Cow Palace and stuff. For me, I really like listening to music smaller the better. It's more intimate, it's fun, you're closer to the band, you don't have to deal with the crowds as much. How does that change for you guys as performers when you're playing at the Windsock or at Brick and Bones, where you got people dancing 2, 3, 4, 5 feet in front of you,
hitting the microphone into your mouth by hitting your stand?
How does that change the energy of the performance as singers? You're a little hidden in the back a little bit more.
He's high energy all the time.
Yeah,
that's by design, by the way.
Yeah. Protection. You guys play at Hooligans at all behind the plexiglass?
No. there's just a lot of places, and I spend a lot of time looking at venues. And there's just not a lot of places that we fit.
Yeah.
Because we're five pieces and we just have a ton of equipment.
Yeah.
So places like the Raven, you know, that have some great bands come through them, we don't fit on that stage.
Yeah.
We can't play
that corner in the window.
Yeah, right. The Hooligans. We can't. And we use a lot of equipment because of the vocals. You know, we're singing 3 and 4 part harmony, and our vocals have got to be out front. We're not a blues band where we've got somebody kind of mumbling and, you know, some songs happening.
You're belting it out.
We're singing the harmonies and making sure they're tight and they're crisp. So that's a lot of the equipment that we use. So we just don't fit places like Hooligans.
Do you have a preference? I mean, obviously it's neat to play in front of 7,000 people opening for a major group like you did, but there is the energy of a tiny spot.
I think, I don't know, I like that stage outside at Brick and Bones.
That patio?
Yeah, and you know, at first, it's kind of sterile a little bit playing up at that hotel, but it's got so much open room and huge dance floor. If they could only turn the lights down a little bit, it's way too brash in there. But for setting up, isn't that the nicest? I mean, we just roll it in, bam.
And our dancers love it.
Huge dance floor. But I don't know. I'd have to say...
We really kind of have... there's different places. We like them all.
For different reasons.
And the Windsock is kind of like a home for us. We can go in there, relax, and just have a fun night partying with our friends.
On that postage stamp of a dance floor, though.
Yeah, it is. It's small, but I mean, it's...
Brick
and Bones is kind of like a home for us, you know? We love it. It's a great place. I love that outdoor patio that they've got. The Eagle's Nest is great. Our dancers love it, so it's always fun to watch them dance. But things like this, I think this is going to be one of our new favorites here in Prescott Valley. We've never played in Prescott Valley.
Really?
And we were so excited to play here when I was talking with Brian Whitty, because it's something new that they built, and we're really looking forward to playing more often out here. Bill and
Neil's got to go start breaking stuff up.
Go for it. Thanks. Appreciate your time.
Pleasure to talk with you, my friend.
Good to talk with you. You're not running away, are you?
No, not yet. Not yet.
The whole second half is gonna
be me.
Strictly on bass. Baseline and tambourine.
It's all
the rest
about the
of the
bass.
But you know, this is something that I said just the other day. Nothing feels better is when the whole band is there. You got a full house, and everybody is dancing on the floor. Like that, that makes you feel so good.
That
it makes you, it stimulates you, makes you want to play more.
Nice.
Yeah.
Energy. Yeah. 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 We got to feed off that.
Real energy.
As a vocalist, how does it change at all when you're, I don't know, what are you, a couple, probably 20 yards from the audience tonight as opposed to that couple of feet? Does that change how you perform, how you sing?
Not really.
No?
No, and I'm just like these guys. I love when we have a ton of dancers.
Yeah.
Now, the one guy that fell and knocked over all my music and it went flying. Yeah, the tip jar. We've gone through like three or four.
Oh, yeah, that feels good, too.
Tip jars, and we don't use glass, tell you. And then the chick that kept falling into his microphone, I thought, oh, don't chip his pretty teeth.
So as long as they're into it, it could be 10 people or it could be 1,000 people.
Yeah, we do our best, and we've had to do that. You'll start off a night, and there's just a handful of people, and we just knock it out the same way as if we're knocking it out for 1,000 people.
Absolutely.
Just because.
Let's talk a little bit about that show last year at Pioneer Park. Jacob Dylan in town.
That's cool, yeah. I played the fanboy after we broke it down.
Yeah.
I kept my little pass.
Such a fan.
And I sat backstage all day long talking to his band, which were mostly Nashville musicians, getting the old stories from them.
They were great guys.
Oh, so cool. And waited around once Jacob showed up later, met him, and that was really neat for me.
Now, I mean, that was as the anniversary of losing our hot shots, you got Nick, you got the shirt on there.
Right.
It was, I covered a lot of that, a lot of the activity from 2013 when it happened working for the paper and that. The mood for that first year anniversary, people were really wanting to, not, I don't want to say forget, because
that's
not
the case.
They wanted to heal, exactly. Great, right. Great wording on there, and to kind of celebrate the ability to overcome such a tragedy of losing these 19 guys. What was the feeling as you guys were getting ready to prepare? Because you were really representing the entire community being up on that stage.
We all kind of, in a way, knew some of those guys. Two of them had been to my house many times for dinner with my son, who's a firefighter. And I saw some of those guys grow up. So that was really emotional. But to see what, I guess it was the Discovery Channel. Is that who spearheaded that whole thing?
Yes.
I think. Well, it was some, we were awarded
Destination America.
Yeah, that's
right. For the celebration of that kind of, in a sense, of the healing process. And, I think it was pretty neat to be a part of that. Because, and it's a fine dichotomy, you think, of there about, bittersweet terms of sorrow and healing. But that embodies it when you think of it. People are there in a festival atmosphere trying to have fun, but yet there's that subdural feeling of, man, shit, that really happened.
Yeah.
And so there's a hard, it's a hard thing to juggle, but it's a process, and that was a big part of the beginning of that process, I think, because we saw people just having fun.
Yeah.
You know, and you could talk to anybody about that whole incident of the 19, and you could cry one second, you could laugh the next second, because you're talking about these guys and their memory. So it's kind of I would think it was great to be a part of that
and see
that happen. It was kind of odd. And this is a weird thing. When there was the big thing the other day down at the square, and people questioned the attendance wasn't quite what they might have thought it would be. Well, so many people around here was so personal to that thing that doesn't represent what that memory is by sheer number of people.
You're talking about at the courthouse, the bell ringing.
In the last couple of years, it was crazy, the first year and everything, just overflowing. And you're going to see that, but I don't think that is a testament to people's spirits and what it means to people, because there's so many people here who deal with that on a personal level.
Yeah.
I spent that day talking with two dads, who I know, who lost
And like
their
you
voice.
Said, knowing, through your son, who's a firefighter, and having these guys at your home, I knew a couple of the guys very personally. I was very good friends with the Parker family, Wade's parents
that's
and
that. Danny.
Yeah. I live about six houses down from Danny up off of 4.
Gino.
And it was gut-wrenching those first days and weeks, and then I sat down and recorded an interview with Danny a couple of months after, I think it was September.
The guy's composure is amazing.
Yeah, and
I can't understand
how
it.
He was dealing with his life, him and Michelle dealing with their loss, but not dwelling on the sadness of it. Some of the court stuff, when I sat down with Danny and we spent a couple hours recording, several months after Wade was lost, And I asked him a couple of questions about that, because that was right when some of the legal aspects were hitting the news. Mm-hmm. And he didn't ignore me, but he kind of went, you know what, not that he didn't care, but he's like, that's not what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about the memories we had, right, and the dealing with.
Well, that's a veteran fireman's experience in life.
And I think that's how the community, like you were saying, there wasn't a whole lot of folks at the courthouse the other day, but I think that's how the community's feeling is, you know what, this is a personal thing. I when they want to express their thoughts and their sorrows, they're doing it one-on-one with these families.
Be there to listen to them.
Yeah, it's not so much like a national event that we all went through 2 years ago. It's now more of, this is a community event. This is how we deal with our families, right, and with the families of those that were lost.
It's tough. We were actually at Nick's house the other day working on the song set list for this, and Becky and Nick and I, and we were just talking about it, and it's just, it's tough. My nephew was actually on that Granite Mountain crew, but was in New Mexico at the time on a fire. And I remember that day calling my brother to find out where Blake had been, was, and he said, he's safe, he's over in New Mexico. And then, you know, of course, everybody was texting. All my kids went to school with those guys. So just, you know, we all take it personally. We added, we did some Dierks Bentley tunes most of last year, and I will do one tonight, and I'll typically tell everybody it's in honor of the 19, because we do like to remember him. Dierks Bentley came here, raised a lot of money for the guys. We appreciate
it. Up the road at the event center, yeah.
We appreciate that, you know, greatly. We actually took all of our tips in June last year, $500, which we donated to the Granite Mountain Memorial for those guys. So, you know, it personally, yeah, we all take it. Yeah. And it's still tough. I think it's still tough to talk about.
But what a great way you guys have as performers to do things like last year's memorial service. And I know the Wind Sox, really, the management over there is really, really active in helping out and supporting financially and otherwise. So to be able to be there and help folks heal, that's what a great privilege that is for you guys as performers. Yeah.
Right.
Where are you going from here? We got you performing tonight. This will be up in a couple of days, Monday. Yeah, what's today? Friday.
Well, tomorrow we have Pioneer like Park Saturday. Again.
Well, yeah, you guys had a great show.
No, I'm saying tomorrow we're there again.
I know, but this will be up on Monday, it will already be happening.
Oh, that's right.
Time travel.
That's right, Matt. 2 days ago and
So the crowd there was great, and they gave you that big $1,500 bonus check?
We're kind of booked through July and August are pretty busy, and then we take September off. I'm actually going to Ireland getting married, so...
Oh, congrats.
I'll be back.
Did he have to go out of country to find somebody? Yeah.
He doesn't actually know who she is. When he gets there, he's going to find out.
There's a mail-order bride.
You're the mail-order husband there.
I'm the mail-order husband.
All he knows is she makes a hell of a haggis.
So keep checking that Facebook page that Bill throws up for the schedule. Catch these guys live.
Yep.
And go buy a house.
Amen.
There you go.
Get some furniture refinished downtown. I saw this in a movie once.
I don't even want to ask what kind of movie that is.
They don't even know the people at home.
Filthy. Whatever you're into it. Well, this is a family podcast, man. Anything you guys want to hit on that we haven't talked about?
Yeah, definitely come out and check us out. Say hi. Enjoy the
trapeze
band.
Artist. Who was not that one over there? Yes, we wanted to hit on.
He looks married. I don't know.
Oh, he got it.
Not there's anything wrong with it.
We have a street dance.
That's okay. This is the 21st century.
Yes, with regulators and shady ladies.
Downtown.
That's going to be the end of July. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Like the corner of Goodwin and Montezuma in that lot next to the post
office. We're doing the Adult Center the 17th. The big dance over at the Adult Center off Rosser.
I'm excited to see what an Adult Center actually is.
Have you been
up
there?
I got a lot of ideas.
I've shot up there for different events. It's a beautiful building.
I had no idea. Yeah, I guess a bunch of dance.
It's the Rolly P. Simmons Adult
Center. Do the contract with them, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I went through and I've done a couple of reunions and a couple of weddings up there. It's a great building.
Wow.
It's beautiful, yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. But, yeah, we're just kind of doing our thing. We're, you know, we pretty much from here, we just stay in Prescott and we find different venues and, you know, continue to play music for the people.
Until that one guy walks in the windsock and goes, I'm going to make you guys a star. That's where we just wait for that.
We are available.
Yeah, but then you'd have to put down that hammer and sander and.
Believe me, I'm ready to do that. Anytime. Give me a holler.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
All right. Well, we look forward to hearing you guys. I'm going to tap into Teddy's, thanks to Prescott Pro Sound. Ted, Leonard, and his crew always do a great job. I'm going to tap this into the board, get a couple of your cuts, your songs while you're performing, and we'll lead in and play out with that
sounds
as well.
Good. Thanks good. A lot for doing this, man. Thanks for everything you do.
Always looking forward to meeting up with new entertainers and hearing some good music. And like I said, since I started this in December, people were telling me right off the bat, you got to meet with these guys. You got to meet with these guys.
Well, it's just a cool idea in general what you do around here. Well, and I just say we appreciate that.
Yep. It's fun. Now all we got to do is worry about people listening to. Well, thanks. We'll see you up on stage. I want to cut you guys loose because I know you're ready to go.
All right.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
We're here tonight. We'll be out at Pioneer Park tomorrow, 1 to 3, and then up at the Eagle's Nest at the Prescott Resort tomorrow night. Following weekend, we're at Woodstock. You can check us out on Facebook. We don't do pictogram. We don't tweet or any of that kind of stuff.
We do pictographs.
But, so check us out. Find out where we're at. Come on out and dance. We're going to do we'll do one to kind of tune up so you guys can do the sound and adjust it. But it's kind of a fun one we like to do. We like to, at this time of year, we always like to honor Dierks Bentley. Because Dierks Bentley came up here and for R19... And we like to honor the 19 with Dierks Bentley tunes since he raised a lot of money for those families. And, of course, we're always thinking about him up here. Thank you. Last year on the 4th of July, we got to open for the, we had the honor of opening for the Wallflowers. Got to meet Jacob Dylan, Bob Dylan's tune. I thought I had taken every Dylan tune out of the set list.
But this one's pretty obscure.
And sure enough, I left this one in the set list. I felt so bad.
Bob wrote this.
Yeah, this is a Bob Dylan tune.
Nice long toast. Well, he was heading out west to Cumberland Gap, to Johnson City, Tennessee. I gotta get a move on before the sun. I hear my baby call my name another. She's the only one. And if I die in Raleigh, at least I will die free.
Come on! Rock me, mama, like a wagon wheel. Rock me, mama, anyway.
My yesterday. I would wrap you in the heaven, feel it crying all the way. I feel like making. Shine.